And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I wonder how many people have ever left the meeting once it starts recording. It always fascinates me.
Well, I like when it gives you the notification.
Yeah. All right.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basketball Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Dave DeFore producing. We got Trevon Edwards, Jay King, Mo Dakhil. And we have this was yesterday, so that doesn't make any sense what I was about to say. Yesterday, I called Championships Eve because after two dominant games, maybe at best, if you want to sell Miami's side of this, 1.5 dominant games in Miami. But after two dominant games in Miami, Denver is on the cusp of winning the championship tonight. As we will head to Denver for game five with the Nuggets up 3-1. And I feel the same way about tonight as I did going into game seven of Celtics Heat. I will roll with history on this because the odds are so overwhelming. Now, there has been one team in NBA history out of 36 tries going into tonight in which the team up 3-1 has ended up losing. That was the Warriors, obviously, in 2016 with the Cavs coming back. As much as I love Jimmy Butler, as much as I believe in Jimmy Butler, he is not 2016 LeBron James. I don't think Bam Adebayo is 2016 Kyrie Irving. I don't know. Who would that be?
Duncan Robinson might be.
Duncan Robinson might be 2016 Kevin Love.
He's got some wiggle inside the arc.
I don't know about that.
I like that she went... You didn't even go, Kevin Love might go back to 26. It was just, not even an option.
Kevin Love had his one game, and that's about it, I think. We've got the Nuggets who just, what's interesting about this to me was, it's not even like surviving the Jokic minutes. It's not even the Jokic minutes off the floor, right? It's not the, oh my God, how did they win when Jokic and Jamal Murray had bad shooting nights? It's the defense. Like, the defense for the Nuggets going into Miami was exactly what it needed to be. I don't think they played good defense in the first two games. I just don't. Like, they give up a lot of open looks, a lot of easy shots that Miami missed in game one. They hit in game two. There's your win. But other than that, like, to give up 94, and I know it's slow pace, but 94 and 95 points respectively in games three and four. And they went from 30 uncontested three-point looks in game one, 30 uncontested three-point looks given up in game two, down to 25 in game three, and 19, only 19 of them in game four. That's the change in defense that they needed to truly separate themselves from Miami in this one. And Mo, there have been a lot of adjustments that have been made. Miami has thrown just about every kind of defensive look you can throw at Denver. And even though Denver's offensive rating has been high in this series, I still think like Miami's done a pretty good job overall of defending them. But the defensive adjustments that Denver made in slowing down those looks for Miami, that's the reason they're on the cusp of winning the championship tonight.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they've just basically said, we're not doubling. We're not leaving shooters. We're not. I mean, let's be honest here. If Max Drews just has a decent game in game one, this is probably a 2-2 series, you know, or the whole complexion changes in the way everything goes. But they just have completely locked it down since they went to Miami. They just said, we're not doubling Jimmy. We're not doubling Bam. We think we could defend those guys pretty much one-on-one and stay home with the shooters. And that's essentially what's happened. You know, where you're not finding a lot of open opportunities for Duncan Robinson to get a look. Max Drews, who shot it incredibly poor, even when he was wide open, is still, you know, not getting clean looks. Caleb Martin isn't the Caleb Martin we saw when it was Eastern Conference run through the Eastern Conference teams. And I think it's been a struggle across the board for everybody else. And it's like just small pockets. And they're not being able to take advantage of, and there's not enough of those opportunities for them to make up for it. Because when you talk about Denver's offense, like, yeah, Miami's done the best they could possibly do to defend this team. It's just this team is really freaking good. Like, there's only so many things you can do. At a certain point, you just got to throw your hands up and be like, shit, man.
We tried, right?
Like, yeah, it's like
that's like, yeah, like
it's you know, it's just like, all right, well, I did all the coverage you wanted me to do.
Yeah. But your offense,
still found an open guy in the corner or underneath the rim.
And that's the thing. Miami is probably the best team in the league, and Eric Spoelstra is probably the best coach in the league at confusing you, at throwing so much stuff at you that you can't diagnose it correctly, at just junking the game up in a way that people just can't read the game.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic is the best at processing all of that in the entire league right now. And his ability to handle that and Jamal Murray's ability to limit turnovers and throw as many assists as he had on top of the scoring that he's done. Those two guys are just playing the game at such a crisp level that there's no matter what you try, they can find the answer. And that's the most impressive part to me is like this Miami team is so tough to stay solid against, and they've been able to do it.
Well, but here's the thing about that, Jay, is I think they've done a good job of disrupting Denver's offense with all those different looks. But when you can't capitalize by scoring on the other end of the floor, then it becomes just like eventually Denver's going to score and figure this out. And instead of putting pressure on them to, you know, get a stop with the zone looks, get a stop and then go back the other way and hit a three or score at the rim or whatever, because they can't answer with that, it buys Denver time to figure it out to where then like maybe you get 2-3 stops in a row, but you haven't scored on any of those stops. And so now Denver scores on the next 2 or 3 possessions. And now it looks like, oh, well, you fucked up. You didn't get this right. But you did for a little bit. It's just if like Trey, if you can't put the pressure on the other team. And I think a big part of that is just Jimmy and Bam are not scoring at the rim. Like these are two crazy athletic, strong dudes who are not scoring at the rim. And I think that has ended up being the biggest pain for them offensively because it puts zero pressure on their interior defense.
Also, I just think the Heat have just ran into the most prepared team they've seen all year.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the numbers, Jimmy was having exceptional first three rounds of the playoffs, you know, and then his numbers are down. Whether he's exhausted, whether, you know, they're throwing bodies at him, you know, it's not the same. And clearly you can see that the Nuggets are capitalizing off of it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. This is a make or miss league for even the Heat to even be in a game. They have to make their three-pointers. And even still, you look down and Jimmy's kind of spotty in certain places where he may have 16, he may have 12. Even him and Bam scoring 20 is just not going to get it done against this exceptional team. Like, you know, it, man, just overall, like, I mean, this is Denver's year. And respect to Michael Malone and his staff and the front office and everybody, you know what I mean? Even with Michael Porter Jr. struggling the way he is, you know, Christian Braun is like stepping in, you know what I mean? Like just uncharacteristic guy, Reggie Jackson getting a couple minutes, like, anybody. And I mean, shouts to those guys
that was the biggest upset of the that was the biggest upset of the finals so far. Like once you survive the Reggie Jackson minutes, you don't deserve, or the other team does not deserve to win the title. I don't care how many minutes it was,
like, just forfeit it. Forfeit, it's done. Just
you can't counter
over.
You can't counter with like, well, we got Zeller out there. You can't like that's
who would have known that Reggie Jackson was going to get a ring before Chris Paul, bro, Russell Westbrook.
I know, like, that's tough, man.
It
is so funny looking back on March now and how this Nuggets team played and how Jokic was defending. They were so bad that Jokic like just totally didn't drop out of the MVP race, but it was like
Embiid is clearly the option here. The Nuggets, like, they were just losing to everybody. They lost to the Spurs. They just did not care.
They just didn't give a shit, right? Like, they just like, yeah, we got this one seed.
They literally were just like, eh.
We're going to make sure we're healthy for the playoffs. Like, we feel pretty good about it.
We'll be out there.
Yeah.
And if you give us a game, sure.
They looked at the play-in tournament. They're like, all right, what? It's going to be the Wolves or the Lakers or the Thunder. Like, I think we're good. The Mavericks. We'll be fine.
I think we're all right. Yeah. They basically had the one seed locked up anyway, but it really is hysterical. Like, this has been such a locked in playoff run.
And their biggest competition for that one seed was Ja Morant waving a gun around on social media. And like, I think they saw that and they're like, okay, we can take the next month and a half off. We're good.
Oh, man.
We are good.
But it was chilling. It was just funny because while all that's going on, the rest of us are like, oh my God. The sky is falling in Denver. It's like, what's gonna happen and all of that, and then it's like, they got to the finals of 12-3. Like,
yeah, how many teams have flipped the switch on for the start of the regular season, flipped the switch off for the last month and a half of the season, and then flipped it back on for the playoffs? Like, harder to do than being bad and like, we're gonna flip the switch in April, like, we'll be good.
It was almost like they were just like, let's just see if it works.
Yeah,
let's see if, like, we tried
the other thing before and it didn't work. Like, let's just see, like, who knows. Yeah, I was gonna change subjects a little bit to Jokic specific, so go for it.
I was just going to say, like, looking back on their losses in this playoff run, this is going to be one of the best playoff runs we've seen for a team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least in recent history. But looking back on their losses, so they had the one where they were down like 12 to the Timberwolves and then went on like a 12-0 run in the last minute to send it to overtime. They lost that one.
Would have won if Jokic made the free throw. He went 1-2 from the line. Would have won that game. Would have been a sweep.
And then Durant and Booker had to combine for like 170 points just to like eke out wins.
Just to counterbalance two wins the Landry in that minutes. Series.
Then LeBron and AD could not get a win. LeBron and AD, and AD playing at a super high level, could not get a single win. Just could not disrupt them. And then they lost one game in the finals where they collapsed in the fourth quarter. Jamal Murray had a three to tie. Those are their only four losses the entire playoff run so far.
It's about as dominant as you can get, right?
Yeah.
Without adding
Kevin Durant to a team that already has Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson.
Was it the 2002 or no? It was the 2001 Lakers that went. They had one loss, right?
Yeah, 12-0, and then lost game one to Philly.
It's about as dominant as you can get without doing that, right? Without the one Allen Iverson game coming and getting you. I was thinking about this, and you know, I was thinking, all right, is this like when's the last time we saw a finals run this dominant? And then it didn't take me long. I went back to Giannis in 2021, and to me, I guess the Giannis one is more impressive. Because of the knee injury that he would, like, we all thought, like, oh my God, he blew out his knee, the Bucks are done, blah, blah, blah. And then he's out like, I don't know, 6 days, and then comes back and has, you know, 35-13-5 every single night, but still and was playing defense. He has the, you know, the tip away alley oop at the end of, I can't remember what game that was against the Suns. Maybe it was game three or game four. But he has that, and then, you know, it and caps it off with a 50-point closeout game. And I guess we have to see what Jokic does tonight to close this out. But I guess Giannis aside, this is about as dominant as we've seen a player be since
LeBron did it every year.
Well, yeah. no offense to Jamal Murray. Like, he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, right? Like, Jamal Murray's good and he's played really well. But I like, do you go back to Dirk in 2011? Like, and that's not fair because Jamal is playing better than any of the second banana guys on Dallas, but I just think this Jokic one, I mean, his bad game was 8-for-19, right? Like, that was his bad game, which, not a good shooting night, but for him, that's like, holy fuck, he didn't hit half his shots. Well, like that's how dominant he's been.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
My favorite is, like, we're just going to turn him into a scorer and whatnot. He's averaging 30 points in the series. Like, it's nothing. You know, this is easy stuff for him.
And eight assists.
And eight assists. And that's the low number. I'm really just curious, is he going to get a triple double? Like, is he going to average a triple double for the finals?
Well, yeah,
like,
I think Tim McMahon said that he has to get 14 assists tonight to average a triple double. So I think that's the watch that we're on.
I think he legitimately is just going to shoot five shots. He's just going to shoot five shots, get the 10 points, and then just focus on rebounding and passing the rest of the night.
Well, if he only takes five shots, he still might have 25 tonight because he'll go to the free throw line so many times.
Right. But I just think, like, he's been so dominant, and then it becomes a situation, too, where it's like, look, when Bam goes to the bench, it's Cody fucking Zeller that's coming in to guard him. And it's like, look.
I actually think Bam's done a pretty good job of guarding him, right? You can expect from a 6'8 dude, like, he's done a pretty good job.
He's done about as well as you possibly can for the tools that he has. And then it's just Jokic just kind of goes like, fine, okay, I'll shoot this wide open three that Jamal Murray has created because he stretched out the pick and roll defense and things like that. And it's like, at times he just passes up shots because he's bored. Like, it's just frustrating. But this has been an unbelievable run from Jokic. Like, I think I'm with you, Zach. Even though Murray's probably better than anybody on that Mavs team, this is very Dirk-esque.
Yeah. Just in terms of, like, a dude, not, and I don't even want to say doing it by himself, because that's really, like, Jamal Murray's been fucking awesome, right? But it's just that kind of singular dominant force without an absolute, like, oh, here's a Hall of Famer next to this guy kind of thing. I mean, maybe Kawhi in 2019, but again, like, he's on one leg. Warriors got hurt, you know, no offense to the Raptors championship, but like that, you know, maybe that's similar. But I think Jokic has been better than Kawhi during this finals performance, right? There was a play, and Mo, we talked about a little bit about what was it, the game four post game show. But there was a play at the beginning of game four in the first minute where Bam ended up with a ball in transition. He goes at Jokic. He scores a layup in transition, like kind of around Jokic. And I remember thinking, like, okay, like, where has that been? Like, what, like, that's what you need. Like, you can't let Jokic just be in the way because he's too big. And so, like, you have to, like, get out there and run and utilize it, even though I think Miami needs to have, you know, as few possessions as possible in the game to try to win this. And then it didn't happen again until, like, sort of a meaningless bucket in the fourth quarter. And he did it again at one point. And there's part of me that is just like, look, I've had a lot of issues with Bam on offense throughout the last few playoffs.
Zach, it's not even that.
He sucks on offense in the playoffs. He just does.
Forget about even going at Jokic, okay? Because, like, Jokic is huge or whatnot. There are plays where he gets a guard switched onto him, and he still goes to a floater.
He had
a play when they were trying to make that fake comeback that, you know, down the stretch. He had KCP on him. He gave KCP one bump, and KCP went back, like, gave up ground. You should probably bump him again, and you're right at the rim. Nope, jump hook, missed. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, it just drives me insane. Same thing when he had Christian Brown on him. It's the same thing. Like, he's done it over and over again when he has guards on him. And I'm like, you're bigger than, I get it with Jokic. He's a massive human being. You're bigger than these other dudes, and you're still giving that up.
But you have a lot. Like, look, Jokic, again, Jokic is a better defender than people
give him credit
have
for.
Mostly realized and give him credit for. I do legitimately think he's a plus defender this year. But like, you're like, you can jump, you have long arms, you're strong, right? You're not Jokic strong, but like, you get a step on him, make him foul you, do something. Like, that's the thing where I'm just like, and Jimmy too, like Jimmy isn't off the hook for this. Like he should be finishing through contact on a lot of these dudes. And he hasn't done it all that much in this series either. And I wonder if that is kind of the cumulative effect of like, holy shit, this team's just so much bigger than us. You know, where it's not even in your mind to go do that, Trey, right? Like it's not even your mind to go through it, because you're just like, all right, this dude's bigger than me, this dude's strong. I don't wanna attack that. I'll just go to this float game, I'll go to this turnaround jumper. And that's part of the reason where they're just not establishing anything inside. And so it allows Denver to, all right, well, we're not gonna double anymore, we're not gonna cheat off these shooters, we're gonna stay home and good luck.
Yeah, it's intimidation, but definitely just sticking to the guns, man. Just sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all want us to change something up, beat us. Show us that you can beat us. And nobody's proven it.
Mm-hmm.
If you got that far, and you know, even if you got a lead, right? Because the first game is always the fill out. After they felt comfortable. KCP came out one time and said, look, man, yeah, they won, but we shot terrible. You know what I mean? Like they truly believed that they should be sweeping them. And they had no fear from the jump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cool. Jimmy, get your 20. Bam, get your 20. You know, the shooters, they add the game that they won, they shot hot. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they're not going to shoot like that, and they're going to defend. And also, Denver knows that, you know, they know how to respond to runs. And I think that's their biggest, like, you know, their biggest flex of everything is how do you have composure when a team responds and they're even kill throughout the game, no matter what. You know what I mean? Where it's just kind of like, oh, they're down 9. They're not worried about it. They can hit a couple threes, defend, and be right back into it. And they don't have to force Jokic.
Right.
That's the one thing I can honestly say when I look at when you talk about the Giannis run, or you talk about whoever it may be, whether it's Steph, whether it's KD, whether all these good athletes, they're not forcing Jokic. Mm-hmm. If you look at Jokic, he gets the gravity. But mainly he's looking to distribute. Jamal Murray time in the fourth.
Yeah, it's very Curry-esque, Trey, in terms of just like the ball's going to come back to him if it needs to, right? Now Jokic is obviously way more of a distributor than Steph, especially in their respective offenses. But I think to what you're saying, there like that gravity is there no matter what's happening on the floor, and you just have to respect that the ball might go back to him.
And then the Steph comparison is a weird one, but I'm going to take it even a step further, because like Steph
underclipped Dave.
You're always worried about Steph no matter where he is. And because of that, other guys get open. Right. And everything, a lot of stuff that Andrew Wiggins gets, that all these other guys get, it's because of all the focus on Steph. With Jokic, he does it in a different way, where it's like just his ability to pass from different angles, from to throw guys open, like Christian Brown cutting, Michael Porter Jr. cutting. All these things are such weapons because Jokic can deliver the ball wherever it needs to go, and there's nothing you can do to stop him from throwing a pass. You cannot impact him. You cannot take away the passing angles that you can with a lot of guys, because he's too big and he can throw every pass with either hand. It's just ridiculous. So
I don't know if
that made any sense at all.
No, it didn't.
They're both able to weaponize other players in a way that nobody else can is the comparison I'm drawing.
So just to kind of tie that up in a pretty bow, you said to take it a step further and then took no steps further.
None whatsoever.
Matter of fact,
rewound. And then
a half step back and then a half step back forward. So we're still in line with each other.
And said it more concisely, though, at least this time around. At least this time it made some sense.
It was
a poor, poor delivery. In my head, it seemed amazing.
There's the title of your memoir right there. In my head, it seemed amazing. The J. King story. I was so
excited for that one. I was like, oh yeah, this one's gonna be killed.
You know what? Hold on, Zach. You know what happened? The moment you told him The moment you said, Dave, we got our clip, he clammed up.
He got nervous. He choked, man.
He got scared. The light came on, and he said, oh, shit.
I called for the ISO. Yeah. I hit him with the step back. I even did the Nick Young, like, celebrating too early.
You definitely did that, a Nick Young. That was a Nick Young.
That shit clanged off the rim.
And I think to Trey's point about, you know, the way they can weather runs, right? I think that there's a, and again, I don't want to oversell this with Jokic, because I don't think he's at that level possibly yet. And I don't think he'll get to that level, but there is a Tim Duncan-esque quality of calmness, right? Where you can kind of just like know that our guy is not rattled by this. He's saying, you know, the same blood pressure, down 10, up 10, whatever. Like, he, like, it is very even keel, Mo, across the board. And I think with Jokic, like, you see that with this team. Like, you see kind of, you know, the similar style of leadership in that.
Go back to just game two when they make that run. Mm-hmm. It was almost the same thing as that Minnesota game four.
Yeah.
Where they make a last minute run and basically had a chance to tie it and go to overtime. You know, if Murray makes that shot, and it's a different story.
Yeah, who knows?
Right. And I think it's just, they never are panicked. They're never phased at this point. You know, they just continue to run their stuff, continue to go through it. How many times have we felt like they've gotten out of character? Forget the series, even the playoff run. Like, I haven't felt like there have been times where it's like, okay, Bruce Brown has decided we're in trouble, I'm going ISO, right? Like, they just stay with their...
He did decide not we're in trouble, but he was like, oh, I got Duncan on me?
No, that's different. That's different.
I've been playing with this dude for too long. Like, I'm going at him.
Yeah, like, that's different. But like, yeah, he had that advantage mismatch in that sense. But like, they just never feel like you can't rush them. And you thought maybe this Miami Heat team would be able to do it. And I think if they didn't go to seven with the Celtics and Spo had more time, there might have been more wrinkles he could have thrown in and prepared going into this.
I don't know, man.
If you give Spo 8 days, I think he'll get more than one game in a series.
I don't know how much more they could, like, what other defensive, like, he'd have to invent defense.
Like, Spo might, though, Zach. He might,
but I don't know, man. Like, they've thrown every look you can possibly come up with.
But I just think at the end of the day, they just haven't been able to rattle them. And down and they make a run, it doesn't worry them. Jokic goes out in game four with foul trouble. They didn't put him back in until like the 4:30 mark. I thought Michael Malone was greedy.
I think Marcus Thompson wrote it was like 315 seconds that defined, you know, their kind of their championship run there, the non-Jokic minutes there.
Where can I read that?
TheAthletic.com. Subscribe. Yeah. So some breaking news as we're recording this. Shams Charania reports that Tyler Hero has been upgraded to questionable. Questionable ahead of game five tonight. I've said this whole time, like, I don't think he helps. And some people have been
what's questionable? Why Tyler Hero hasn't had his bags packed? Because they going to Cancun. They going to Cancun, baby. You know what I'm saying? Actually, you know what? Hero going to Italy. He going to men's fashion week. Mm-hmm. He going to go hang out with Miles Turner to Milan, and everybody else. Yep. He going to wear all them prints. They all going to fashion week.
I can tell you the way he's dressed, they're not letting him into fashion week the way he's been dressing. That's not happening. I've said this whole time, like, I like the dynamic they have with this playoff run without Tyler Hero. And that's not to say Tyler Hero is a bad player. I just think you lose a lot. And look, this if he ends up playing tonight, this could be a last ditch effort. And I get the idea of, like, look, that's a 20 point score. He's a good 20 point score. You can use that against his defense, but this is a dude who hasn't played in 2 months now, right? Coming back from a hand that does not seem like, based on reports and everything, that it's fully healed.
Also, I'm going to say that Gabe Vincent passed him the ball with his broken hand to keep him out so he could start. Also, please,
I like the
listeners.
Theory.
Listeners, go listen to the. I mean, go find the thread about things that happened in the NBA this season. Amazing.
Oh
thread.
My God! I look. I had forgotten that the whole Patrick Beverly camera thing happened in Boston. I could that one. I
did it,
man.
I was there for that. That was amazing. Oh,
I
man,
died when I saw that.
Special.
Does anybody think? Two-part question. Do you think Tyler Hero can't like? It like makes a big difference in this series at full strength. And do you think that he can even be close to full strength tonight after not playing for 2 months, Mo?
No, that's such a hard situation to just drop him right into this environment.
Game
of the
five of the NBA finals. Yeah.
Down 3-1.
With a possibly
like...
still broken hand or whatever the ailment is at this point.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and what was it? It was like less than a week ago where it was like, yeah, even after shooting drills, my hand swells up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That And then in the altitude, like he hasn't played an NBA game and now we're going to have him run up and down in Denver. Like, sorry, guys. Like, I just can't see him having that much of an impact. But, like, that's such a pressure situation like, to put him into. Too.
Could he give you 4 minutes, Jay? Like, could Tyler give you 4 minutes of just like, this is a difference making 4 minute stretch? Like, let's not say like, oh, he's going to have 30 tonight. Like, but could he give them 4 minutes where it's like, holy shit, Tyler Hero really helped here.
You got to have the Reggie Jackson leash on him. Like just throw them out there.
That
for
is
a minute
brand
or two.
New sentence in the history of speaking. That is
throw them out there for a minute or two, see if he's got anything to give you because they do need an offensive lift. They need someone to create shots. They need someone to be able to produce any type of look against this Denver defense that has really really just limited them over the last few games.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I can't see him coming back into this series. And really, they got better when he got hurt. They got better. The ball started moving more. Mm-hmm. The
defense was better.
Players were making quicker decisions. The defense is better. If I'm Tyler Hero, I look at how the team played without me, and I'm like, I probably have to change the way that I play next season. I can't be pounding the ball into the ground the way I do. It's got to be quicker decisions. And if he could do that, he's very talented, and he's a great shot maker.
Yeah, Jay, I'll take that a step further. I think if you're Tyler Hero, you got to think, maybe I need to change the way I play.
Yo, I hate you, man.
All right, let's that was so unnecessary, but I just couldn't resist.
It feels amazing. Like the last day of school.
And the 2 seconds it took him to realize I was just being a dick and not actually offering up a point.
I knew the whole time. That was well played.
All right, let's make predictions about tonight. Mo, how much do you have Denver by tonight?
Yeah, we'll just go with that. That's really the question. I think the Heat make it a game. I still think it's going to be a 6-point Denver win. I think that's just, they just got too much, and I don't know if Tyler Hero, even if he steps out there, like, that's just a new target for them defensively. Like, Bruce Brown just saw that tweet come across and went like, ooh.
Maybe that's the plan for the Heat, though. All right, we need to see Bruce Brown go back to back games of this. Trey, who do you got tonight, and by how much?
Denver by 14. Mm. Burial out of here, and we getting some minutes from our young fella Peyton Watson out of Long Beach, California.
Yeah, how about that? Let's get Peyton Watson some minutes. Yeah,
Peyton Watson ring. He's getting a Darrell Wright Miami Heat ring.
Shouts to Darrell Wright. Jay, who do you got tonight, and by how much?
Nuggets by 25.
Whoa! What?
Michael Porter Jr. is going to hit 6 threes. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be like a release for Michael Porter Jr.
It's wild that their third best scorer has had 8 points a game, 29% shooting, 13% from three, and they've been fine.
And he's wild. A deadly shooter. He is one of the best shooters alive. And for him to go this cold is so weird because
he's had four games like this in a row throughout his career, right? Like, there's no way he's had this kind of a slump.
He's just such a gifted shooter. It's so weird to see that happen. But I think the Heat have to know. And I know they're Miami and they come back from stuff, and they were the 8 seed and it just shrugged it off and got to the finals anyway. But after the last few games, you have to be like, what are we supposed to do against these guys? There has to be in the back of your mind just the realization that Denver is so much better than you. And I just feel like tonight's going to be a blowout.
I got Heat by 30. No, I've got Denver. I've got Denver. I think by 11. I think it's close from the first half. And then I think Denver pulls away and is up 20. And then Miami does one of those bullshit fake runs to like cut it to like around 10. And I'll say Jokic does not stat pad enough to get the triple double for the series.
14's a lot. 14's a lot. Man. 14's a lot.
He did have that in game one, though. He had 14 in game one.
He could definitely do it, but it's still like, that's also, you know, the key to the assist is other guys making shots. And if Michael Porter Jr. is not going to make shots, like, that's tough.
Oh, but he's going to tonight.
I think Jokic, like, he treats this as such a job, right? Like, I think he loves basketball. I don't think he loves playing in the NBA. I think he just wants to get back to his horses. I think the whole reason to end this tonight and Jokic just takes over at some point is like, fuck this, I want to go home.
Does he miss the parade to go
no,
get the horses?
I think you have to like have the horses in the parade, don't
yeah,
you?
Oh, okay, so he has them coming.
There's an image where he's sitting in the buggy. He's not even riding the horses.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. He don't even probably believe in riding the horses, bro. He just want
to
pet.
Yeah, he just wants to be pulled by the horses, right? Like, he just, yeah.
They should present him with a horse at half court after the game.
Oh, yeah. Like when they used to do like the Nugget. Car for, yeah. Oh, name him Nugget? Yeah, absolutely.
Michael Malone comes riding the horse out of the locker room. That would be the greatest moment in television.
Like a scene out of the movie Eddie where Frank Langella comes out.
If the Jokic brothers were tossing him up, Michael Malone, when they got to the finals, like, what's the encore to that when they win the championship? Like, how do they go? Do they go a step further? Like, what are they? Does he ride their shoulders? Like,
do they celebrate by playing the knife game? Right. Oh. And Mike's just like, no, we're not doing that shit. Like, I don't think you can trust that. The Jokic brothers celebration. Thank God they're not winning this thing in Miami.
Oh God.
Good luck, Las Vegas tonight. Good luck. Cause that is going to be. Some casino is being torn down like that video game Rampage.
It might be the first time Las Vegas would be like, no flights coming in.
No, thank
Denver.
You. Yeah, no, we're good.
Nothing.
You guys
private,
go to fucking Vail or something.
Whatever.
Go ski.
You're go not allowed
still,
here.
Go see if there's still snow on the mountains. Like, we're not doing that here.
All right, make sure you check out all of your finals coverage on The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page so you can see that moment of silence that Jay King had before he decided to comment on me being a dick. Make sure you subscribe to The Bounce, theathletic.com/TheBounce. Your free email newsletter from me and from Shams Charania Monday through Friday, every single morning. Make sure you're checking out One Mo Thing on Mo Dakhil socials. And I don't know, buy some shoes from Trey if you want. I don't know if that's still an option, but he's sending out an entire Foot Locker right now. For Mo, for Trey, for Jay, for Dave, I'm Zach. Keep it locked on The Athletic.